Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 301, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, for thy name's sake, in mercy deal with me, because thy kindness is so great, from trouble set me free. And what follows, Psalter 301, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Proverbs 8, the verses 18 through 35. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Proverbs 8, beginning with verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. And now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, awaiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has brought us as a congregation by renewal within the walls of thy house of prayer, under thy word and eternal testimony. Then also this day, then each and every one of us have been carried upon the wings of mercy. Then thy blessings have been multiplied. May it please thee to grant a humble and a broken heart under all thy goodness. And O Lord, wilt thou be mindful of us and our children, the day already is far spent, and thou knowest how that we have spent the day. May there have been exercises pertaining to the things of the Lord. And then those travelers to Emmaus, they have said it unto thee, the day is far spent, the evening is come. And then they have constrained thee, and then thou hast dwelt with them, and then thou hast made thyself known, Lord. Wilt thou dwell richly amongst us? We give thee so many reasons that thou would depart, and that thou would take the candlestick from amongst us. But we humbly ask thee in the latter days of the earth, under thy solemn speaking, that candlestick, that it may burn brighter and brighter, and that thou may do a great work amongst us, O Lord. May it please thee then to bless thy word for the extension of thy kingdom, that sinners among young and old, that they may be converted, can be also in this evening hour, that there have come up those discouraged, faithfully coming up to thy house, and still to confess that they are unconverted, Lord. May it be then the time that as the sovereign potter, that thou pickst them up as a ruined lump of clay, and places them upon the potter wheel of free and sovereign grace, and to begin to form them a vessel that may reflect thy image. Lord, spare us and our children, that we built not upon sandy foundations. Maybe a few that have come up, that is their fear. Lord, when it is of thee, then thou surely shalt confirm it. Then thou shalt grant those special tokens. And then thy people, they shall hear their name mentioned when thy holy word is opened. Lord, remember thy children. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest that they stand in need to be instructed, comforted, encouraged, lifted up, that they may receive strength for the way, but also to be corrected. Wilt thou grant more and more that tender fear of the Lord, that great fear to offend thee, to grieve thee, to wound their conscience, and that the gospel is dishonored on their account, and to bring great darkness upon their soul. Grant a cleaving unto thee, at thy throne of grace, and thy people need to be taught. It is of him, through him, and to him to be all things, and to be all glory forever. How wilt thou grant that fear of the Lord, to be more humble, to be more holy, to be more thankful, and also to walk their way more joyful. The Lord bless us as a congregation, bless the consistory, bless us all together. May the means of grace be blessed in the church. Wilt thou remember and help fathers and mothers in their weighty task to instruct their children in the aforesaid doctrine. Also that instruction, it shall not return void unto thee, and necessary that it may be accompanied with a godly example, an unceasing prayer of begging of thee, that thy word may be blessed, that it may enter the young hearts, and that it may bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. We may acknowledge thee that hitherto, in the summer months, that thou hast spared us and our children. Wilt thou remember the school, all those that labor therein, where the time is coming closer, that another school year hopes to commence, and then much preparation is necessary. May the earth be filled with the knowledge of the Lord from shore to shore and from pole to pole. And it is written in thy holy word that it is a sign that thy second coming is approaching when the gospel of Jesus Christ has been spread over the earth. And now we live in a day, so many places, where thy word has been brought, where thy word was blessed, where thou had a people that served and feared thee, that have experienced what it was to be saved by free and sovereign grace, and where the candlestick has been removed, where that people dwell in darkness, where they have returned to heathendom and even become worse, Lord. Then surely the times are solemn, but there is still a church to be gathered. May we and our children be included in that number. We remember the nations of the earth, under all thy judgments, under all thy speaking, and where there is a further departing from thee, where the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth is more and more worshipped. Lord, remember also our nation, remember our province, remember all those in high authority. May there be a time that they may be given to publicly acknowledge that thou art the King, that thou art the supreme ruler, that thou art worthy to be served. Oh, a mention of sin and a calling the country back to repentance. But, O Lord, it must begin at thy house to that end. Wilt thou turn us and our children from our worldly and evil ways? May there be a searching of thy word and an asking with the soul of old, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And wilt thou grant thy gracious help? We commend unto thee a father and a mother with their family circle, all hope to commemorate in this week that thou wast spared them for 45 years in the bond of holy matrimony. Wilt thou grant unto them what they cannot give unto themselves, and that is a broken and a humble heart, under all thy goodness and under all thy mercies. We commend the family circle unto thee, for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember all our family circles? May love abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children. Oh, a gathering of the family circles round about thy holy word to be given to speak of the things of the Lord and that one thing necessary. Lord, when it is not so, wilt thou grant a turning, a repentance while it can yet, and while it may yet, what has been separated, bring it together. Then by renewal we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, all under the physician's care. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones, difficulties of the body and difficulties of the mind. Wilt thou remember and uphold them. Above all, wilt thou save them and remember all those that may lovingly care for them. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Wilt thou remember those struggling with temptations and addictions. Do deliver them while it can yet and while it may yet. Oh, not in their own strength, but may they be given to seek a strength from above. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters. Thou knowest where they are in this evening, whether in the world at home, or whether under a deceitful religion. Lord, may they come to themselves, and in all honesty be given to confess that the former days, that they are better than now. Nothing is impossible. Lord, wilt thou keep us and our children under the old ways and under the old truth. And now by renewal, Lord, may our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help in speaking and in listening. What thou withholdest, withhold not the gracious administration of thy Holy Spirit. And, Lord, use it. May it fall on well-prepared hearts. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Lord, nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and they are manifold, but may we be given to plead upon thy great mercy. Oh, the multitude of thy tender mercies, thy loving kindness which reacheth unto the clouds. Lord, grant tokens of thy favor. Leave and forsake us not. Oh, do visit us and answer us, we ask it, in the pardoning of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 444, the stanzas 5, 7, and 9. Alike as a father looketh with compassion upon his children, lo, in such a fashion the Lord doth look on them that fear and trust. He know that our frame is weak and humble, and what follows, 444, 5, 7, and 9. Thank you. in this evening hour with the Lord's help. We ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 13, the question and answers 33 and 34. Question 33, why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God? Since we are also the children of God. Answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God. But we are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. Question 34, wherefore callest thou him our Lord? Answer, because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, and not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us his own property. Lord's Day number 13 speaks of faith in the only begotten Son, our Lord. Three thoughts. First, God's natural Son. Secondly, God's adopted children. And thirdly, God's governed children. Faith in the only begotten Son, our Lord. God's natural Son, God's adopted children, and God's governed children. Thus first, God's natural Son. A beloved congregation, then in this evening hour, our Lord's Day, is a continuance of the second article of the 12 articles, which speaks of the Son of God. And then we have heard much already of that precious mediator. And then, children, you can remember what a mediator is. That is one that stands between two parties that are so far apart. A disagreement, quarrels, there can be many things. And when we speak of the mediator, then those two parties, on the one hand, they are a holy and a righteous God who must execute his justice. And on the other hand, a poor, needy sinner that has nothing to pay. And then we can remember, boys and girls, I think by now, that you can remember those five ways, maybe, in which the mediator must be known. When you come home, then you can tell your parents. And then we have heard, then we have learned, that in the first place he must be known in his names. Secondly, in his natures. Thirdly, in his offices. Fourthly, in his states. And fifthly, in his benefits. And for our children, they are big words. But then you have something to ask your parents, and then your parents have something to explain unto you. And now in the past Lord's days, then we have already heard two names explained. Jesus, the personal name of the Savior, which means Savior, that one may be saved from the greatest evil and brought to the supreme good. Then we have heard that name Christ explained. That is the official name, that means anointed, anointed to a threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. And thus in that name, and then we have already heard of the offices. And now in this evening, then the name shall be explained as we read it in the second article, the only begotten Son of God, our Lord. Then we may say that in the name of Jesus it may be declared that the chiefest of sinners can be saved. Therein lies declared a way for us and our children to be delivered from the greatest evil and to be brought into that blessed communion. Then we have heard of the name Christ, that declares how that a sinner may be saved. Then it was necessary that that mediator, that Christ, that he would be prophet, that he would be priest, and that he would be king. And now in this evening hour, when we hope to hear of the name, the only begotten Son of God, there lies the certainty that the church shall be saved, because he was not only human, but he was also divine. Thus then in this evening hour, then it speaks of the natures of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard of the necessity of those natures in Lord's Day number 6. Then in Lord's Day number 13, then it speaks of the divine nature. That means, children, that the Son was also God. And then in Lord's Day number 14, then it shall speak of the human nature. Thus in this evening hour, not so easy for our children, but children, then you must try to pay good attention. And then there is a special question, question 33. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, while we are also called a children of God? Then the question should come immediately to our minds. Are we now included in that word we? Because I read in John 8 verse 44 that the unconverted, they have the devil to their father. But now I think even the children can understand the question. Because when a father and mother has one child, then we speak of an only child. Great blessing, boys and girls, when you may have brothers and sisters. But now we read in this question that the Lord Jesus Christ is called the only begotten Son of God, and that the true people of God, they are also called children of God. Thus the question is, how can that be? Because that word only, that means there is only one. And yet in the Bible it speaks clearly of the children of God, sons and daughters of the Almighty. And then the answer, then the instructor, according to the word of God, then he makes a clear distinction between the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the people of God as children of God. And now our first point, God's natural Son, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God. That is declared in the scriptures and attested by many different ones. Then in the first place by the Holy Spirit, already in Psalm 2 verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. In John 1, 2 times, John 1 verse 14, for we beheld the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and of glory, attested to by the Father. Think in Matthew 13, when Christ was baptized, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Those words repeated on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. Oh, it was attested to by the Son when he was 12 years old, when his parents have found him in the temple sitting in front of the doctors of theology. Then he has said unto his parents, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye that I must not be in my Father's business? John 5, verse 17, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. When we read, oh, so many places in the gospel that Christ has spoken that he was the Son of his Holy Father. Then it has been attested to by the church, Nathanael, in John 1, that he was given to say, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel. Peter in Matthew 16, verse 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Even attested to by the devils, that man possessed by devils in Matthew 8, 8. Then he has declared that Christ was the Son of God. Art thou come already to torment us? And now when we read that expression, the only begotten Son of God, those are matters so deep and so unfathomable that we cannot understand it, we cannot comprehend it. We are called to believe it. Our old fathers have been very careful when they have spoken of those divine mysteries. Then all human thoughts must be banished from our mind, because when we think of begetting, then we think of parents before children. But all those thoughts must be banished. Then let us mention the text out of John 5, verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And now concerning that mystery, then the instructors, in a few simple words, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, that natural Son of God of the same essence as we have heard out of Lord's Day number 10, where there was spoken of the Trinity, co-eternal and co-essential. We have read out of Proverbs 8, where by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is written that from everlasting I was set up, from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Then we have heard it, that before the earth and the mountains was formed, then the sun was rejoicing in the heavens before the Father. Oh, then in the early church, it has also become a deep point of controversy, because in the year 318, in the city of Alexandria in the north of Egypt, there was a God-fearing bishop, boys and girls, we would say minister, that has preached the truth. But then he had a deacon who later became an elder, Arius. And that man has proclaimed, he has thought, and he has spoken about it, that Christ, that he was not from eternity, but that he was the first created being before the world was brought forth. And that has caused great strife and great controversy. It has spread outside of Alexandria, and it has caused much confusion and much commotion. To that end, Constantine the Great has sent a messenger in the name of the government that the quarrel must cease. But then it became evident that it was a matter of faith. And then Constantine the Great, then he has called a council together in the year 325 to address that theological confusion. And what an important point it was, because congregation, if Christ was not truly God, if he was not from eternity, if he was not co-essential with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that brings us, maybe you can remember, that in Lord's Day number 6, that it was explained, that it was asked, why the mediator had to be also God. And if he was not God, then the church could not be saved. Thus that issue at stake in the 4th century that concerned the truth, it concerned the salvation of the church, because we have heard in Lord's Day number 6 that it was necessary, indispensable, that the mediator was divine, that he could support the human nature, that human nature would not succumb under the wrath of his Father. Then in the second place, then Christ needed to be God, that he may apply those blessings, that he may grant the application of the salvation that he has merited, that he would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In that warfare for the church against that triple-headed enemy, thus congregation, when we consider these matters, let us never think that it is not so important, that they are too deep for us and our children, because in this Lord's Day, that is for the comfort of the church. And then for the comfort of the church, what a privilege it is when they may be led into those mysteries and see the riches thereof, that he was God from everlasting, and to that end that he could be the mediator. Congregation, you know the history. And fathers and mothers, then you have something to read to your children this week concerning that strife with Arius, concerning that doctrine that Christ was from eternity, can be found in the first volume of God's Care for His Church by Frère de Hell. And then undoubtedly many know how it has went. Oh, at that council, both sides, they have declared their point. Also, those that were not and sound doctrine, they undoubtedly have taken their text, could be a misunderstanding, because do we not read this day, have I begotten thee? Ah, Reverend Hellenbrook, he asked, how can it now be from eternity when in that text it is asked this day? And then Reverend Hellenbrook is simply given to answer that with God it is an eternal and an unchangeable day, but at that council, the Lord has given deliverance. Oh, Alexander, he had a young deacon with him. His name was Athanasius. He was a fiery man, and he was grounded in the truth, a knowledge of the scriptures. And before those 318 council members, we would say a senate, then he was given to prove out of God's holy word that Christ, he is co-essential and co-eternal with the Father and with the Son. And then the truth is conquered, although much has taken place. That Athanasius, for 46 years, he has warred that warfare for the truth. 5 times he was banished in different places, but that truth that was so near and dear unto him, willing to sacrifice his life, because therein lies the salvation of the church. the only begotten Son of the Father. Oh, what can be proven by his names, by his works, by his honors, by his honor, and by his attributes. Thus our first point, God's natural Son. Now secondly, God's adopted children. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God? Since we are also the children of God. Answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by grace for his sake, then by renewal. Then we hear the desire of the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, given to extol free and sovereign grace that it totally excludes mankind. No, the instructors, they do not deny our responsibility, but it was their delight, their desire. They have experienced that it was of grace and grace alone, and therefore by renewal concerning that adoption of children by grace for his sake, only possible through the meritorial work of Jesus Christ finished in the state of his humiliation, that he has finished the work which his Father has given him to do. And now in the state of exaltation, in the way of application, by grace for his sake, therein lies the possibility for us and our children that we may and that we can be saved. But congregation, it needs to happen here in the time. We need to become new creatures. We need to be conquered by free and sovereign grace. We need to become exercised with the weight of our soul. We have to learn here in the time that it is by grace and for his sake. And now concerning the children of God, it is asked in the question, since we are also the children of God, and then in the answer, but we are a children adopted of grace. How it is with us, congregation, concerning being children of God. How is it in this evening hour? What is your answer? Are there souls where that has now become the most important question? Or has that now not become a need? And can we so easy say, I am unconverted, it is grace, it is true, hold on to it. Thus I shall patiently wait for it, maybe even think it's not really so important whether I am so diligent in using the means of grace, because if I'm chosen, I shall come there anyway. That is all truth. But those are hidden things that we are not concerned. But may then ask you, how shall it then be at the end of your life, when you still have all your sins on your account? How shall you then do? And where shall you then spend eternity? And now when the Lord works, that becomes their desire, and that becomes their choice. And there can be so many riddles, can be so many perplexities, because when the Lord works, the devil also works. And then we are troubled with things and matters and temptations that never bothered us before. Ah, then we become such a puzzle and such a riddle. Are there a few puzzles and riddles in the midst of the congregation? Ah, that the Lord, He knows. Because for the children of God, then the Lord, then they are given to tell the Lord. They are given to open their heart, and they are given to say, Ach, Lord, I need to become thy child. By thy free and sovereign grace, I need to be pardoned of all my sins. Oh, is there a way for such a one? Ah, those children, they may receive hope, because when they read the Bible, and when they come to church, then they may hear their name declared. But now the instructors, they have said, but we are children adopted of God. Thus then, children, you can remember Christ. He is the natural Son of God. But the people of God, they are adopted. And then we can draw many lines. Oh, as a general rule, when are most children adopted? Boys and girls. When they are little or when they are big. Then you shall say when they are little. So it is also in the realm of grace. Does not mean that it is not possible. Does not happen so often in natural life. But in the realm of grace, there are even old ones that are adopted. I have heard of a man, 100 years old. His heart was becoming very hard. He did not go to church anymore. But then on the Lord's Day, he went for a stroll, and he came past the church. And then he heard the minister, quote, Isaiah 65 or 66, and there it is written, a sinner 100 years old is accursed. And he became that sinner. Then the Lord has adopted him. And he was brought on the school of King Jesus. And he was led further. The Lord has yet spared him some years that he could testify to old and young. Oh, by grace, for his sake, that it was the Lord's doing. It was wonderful in his eyes that a sinner that has walked on that broad way for 100 years that he was arrested by grace. And now concerning adoption, then it is not the choosing of the child, but it is the desire and the choosing of the parents. So it is also with that spiritual adoption, then it is the choosing of the Lord. Oh, many times from a very far country, even from the ends of the earth. And so it is experienced, do we not read in Ephesians 2 verse 12, that they are alien strangers of the covenant of God, without hope, without Christ in this world. Then they are taken from other families. And now when that spiritual adoption, then they are taken from under the banner of the devil, and they are placed under the banner of King Jesus. Thus, but we are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. And now concerning adopted children, then it all becomes different. Then they are brought in a different family. They receive a different last name. Also read of Moses that that name was given by the daughter of Pharaoh. Then those children receive many privileges. They are included in the well. Then those children, then there is gladness in such a family. Father and mother, when there are more siblings, when another child may enter the family circle,
Oh, I would say even more so with that spiritual adoption, because do I not read in Luke 15 that there is joy with the angels in heaven when one sinner repenteth, but what a joy there is in Zion when there may be heard that sons and daughters are born in Zion. Then they are given to learn a new language. Then there becomes a certain conformity because they learn the manners of that new family. Then they receive more knowledge that they have never received before. We are children of God. Has that now taken place in our life congregation? New desires, new longings, new family, new brothers and sisters, because then we make that good choice with the Ruth. And yet concerning those children, oh, with those spiritual adopted children, it is the same as many times adopted children experience, that they have an inferior complex. They feel that they are different. Think of a Ruth on the fields of Boaz, that she was given to confess that she was not the same as those other handmaidens. Then many times they are given to dwell on the past. And is that not so with those spiritual adopted children of former life? Oh, boys and girls, may you be given to beg the Lord that you may become a little child of God early, that you have not such a former life to meditate upon. You shall still learn the same thing, that you are a sinner, a great sinner, although the Lord has kept you from much evil. What a blessing it is when the Lord may take possession of our little hearts early. And nevertheless, the children of God, they shall learn the same manners. And now when we read, but we are a children adopted of God by grace, we read that word adoption of children in the New Testament 5 times. And in the Greek language, that refers more to a judicial term, that lawfully the paperwork is put in order, that an adopted one legally becomes the possession of a father and of a mother, because we can understand it in natural life when a child is a little older and they come from a far country and they are adopted. But when the paperwork is not in order, that they many times shall ask that father and mother, when shall that now take place? Because as long as the paperwork has not become in the courts and is in order, then it can happen that he must return. What an instruction for the children of God, that adoption, all from the Lord's side, of course. All lies so sure, recorded in the heavens is in his divine decree. But concerning that judicial term, Paul has spoken to the Romans in Romans 8 thereof, the witnessing of the Spirit. Our 3rd point, God's governed children, let us first sing. Psalter 237, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Zion founded on the mountains, God thy Maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious, he delights in thee to dwell. And what follows, 237, the 3 stanzas. Thank you.
of faith in the only begotten Son, our Lord. God's natural Son, God's adopted children, and now thirdly, God's governed children. Wherefore callest thou him our Lord? With a natural adoption, then fathers and mothers cannot give to that child a new nature and a different heart. But now in that spiritual adoption, then by the work of the Holy Spirit, then they become new creatures in Christ Jesus, as I read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And that becomes evident in their life. And now concerning that name, our Lord, that implies different matters. Oh, it implies the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place, and in the second place, the fruits of grace. Because if we think of a Thomas, oh, it is true, already in the beginning, then when the Lord adopts us, when he makes us new creatures with those new desires, when he uncovers us to our sins and our lost condition, then we desire that the living God, that he may be our Lord, that he may be our master. That word Lord in the scripture, that is a title of honor and respect, but it also implies and signifies to be an owner. And to that end, a child of God, he becomes the property of another, as it is written in this answer, Peter. In Acts 10, verse 36, he is written, he is the Lord of all. And in 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And then the instructors, then they are given to write about the meaning, wherefore callest thou him our Lord? Because he has redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins. Not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood. And hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus made us his property. Then in this answer, then we find much of the answer. And Lord's Day number one, the first answer, that I am not my own. Thus then the instructors, they are given to speak of different matters, because he has redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins. Oh, then that precious Redeemer, then he has satisfied justice. Then he has purchased his people, as I read in 1 Peter 1, the verses 18 and 19. Not with gold or silver, with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, the price he had to pay, the love and the willingness of the mediator. Thus in the first place to redeem us and to save us with his precious blood, and secondly, and have delivered us from all the power of the devil. He is King of kings, and he is Lord of lords. And now concerning what the instructors have stated, oh, in the moment of regeneration, then the devil loses his possession. Then he must let such a one go, because Christ is that almighty King. But now it is possible that there are those that say,
and hath delivered me from all the power of the devil, that it can raise questions, that there are a few souls that say, if that is now the portion of the true child of God, then I am afraid that it is not right within, because I have such a trouble with the devil. Oh, since the Lord began, what a questions, what a temptations. Does not mean that in the natural state that the devil does not tempt and also have many questions. But when the Lord works, when the devil loses his possessions, then he becomes angry, and then he does all in his power that he may gain his subject back. Oh, it can never be, because the salvation of the church that lies sure in the electing love of the Father, the redeeming work of the Son, and the applying work of the Holy Spirit. But when the instructor has said, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, then they are given to point to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where on the cross of Calvary, that he has defeated the devil, and under his permission, but it is under his permission, that the Lord allows much, but the devil can do no more than he is permitted. And to that end, the instructors may say, from all the power of the devil, he is a defeated enemy, and thus is made his own property. Ah, for that people, blessings and privileges, that they receive a new master. Oh, a heart full of love to serve that master. They come under his care, as Peter not said in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, they are under his protection. Psalm 91 verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. They are a directed and a guided people. Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. For that people, there is an inheritance, as I read in 1 Peter 1 the verses 3 through 5, an inheritance undefiled that fadeth not away. Oh, the privileges of the people of God. And now concerning that name, our Lord. Oh, then it is so profitable and so necessary, it is true. When the Lord begins that good work, then we are given to call him our Lord. That becomes the desire of our heart, and also evident in our life, because then we are given to seek his honor. Oh, then we are given to obey, although the subjects they have to lament and smite many times upon their breast, that they grieve their Lord, that they are unprofitable servants. But the desire is present, oh, by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. We have heard of a soul when the Lord has begun 2 times that name, Lord, and then he was given to ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? They are subjects that are jealous for his honor and for his glory. They are given to seek that he may be honored to the fullest, our Lord. But now it is so necessary and so profitable, let us only mention Thomas, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He desired him as Lord. He was given to follow him, but it went so differently than he thought. Then his Lord was nailed on the cross. he has breathed his last. He was laid in the grave. Oh, it is true, it was told that he was seen of different ones. But for a Thomas it could no more. Oh, when those disciples, when they have come, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto us. They see not those pierced hands and that pierced side, I shall not believe. And then 8 days later, then a Thomas was given to learn and experience the foundation, how that Christ may be his Lord for time and for eternity. Then he was given to behold that priestly office of Christ, those pierced hands and that pierced side. And then a Thomas, out of the fullness of his heart, by true saving faith, seeing the riches, the foundation thereof, my Lord and my God, our Lord, congregation, who is our Lord? Who do we love? Who do we serve? Who do we obey? Whose honor do we seek? Are we grieved when we offend him? Are we grieved that his name is dishonored? Simple questions, oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to beg the Lord that he may adopt you. And where does he adopt most? Oh, in the house of God, under the means of grace, that you may become a subject, that you may become an adopted child of that living King. Then it is time, then it is well for time and for eternity and for the people of God, that hath made that good choice, and that hath to write many bitter things against himself, and that hath much trouble with the devil, the necessity that with a Thomas that we may be given to be led further into that priestly office of Christ, the foundation of his prophetical and kingly office. We have read together out of Proverbs 8, where it was declared that Christ, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Therefore, it is still possible for us and our children. And then upon that rich declaration of the treasures of the Son of God, that he was from everlasting to everlasting, then the application, now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. And then verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee that thou was given unto us and our children in other Lord's day. Yet a few simple words to speak. Wilt thou add thy divine blessing? Lord, work mightily, irresistibly, lovingly, by thy Holy Spirit, in the hearts of young and old. We are still in the precious day of grace. Thou wast granted that we may commence another week. Lord, for each of us there shall come a last Sabbath day. May we be given to examine who is our Lord. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may graciously watch over the whole congregation in the home. Remember the mothers,
remember the unborn. Well, to watch over us on the way, at work, wherever we are called to be. Well, to keep us from harm and danger. Keep us under thy kind care and protection. Lord, well, to guide our thoughts, our words and our deeds. Well, to keep from sin and temptation, that we grieve thee not. May we be more exercised with that one thing needful. Well, thou graciously provide for our daily bread. And then by renewal, then we commend the needs in the realm of nature unto thee, such a large part of this country that is suffering under drought. Then thou art also speaking in a special way. May we be given to hear thy voice. Well, thou now graciously watch over us during the night and in the morning hour. Well, thou grant strength and courage for our labors. May we be found good stewards of what thou hast entrusted unto us. And then there can be difficulties, then there can be trials, weakness of the body, discouragements. But, our Lord, may we be given to pause and consider what a great blessing it is that thou still hast something for us to do upon this earth. Above all, may we be given to seek thee while thou mayest be found. Well, thou now bring us safely to our dwellings, and wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins. Also of this day, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 202, the stanzas 1 and 3. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. And what follows, 202, 1 and 3. grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.